Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
A technology company in the United States is getting under the skin of its employees, literally. It started implanting microchips into the hands of dozens of workers in Wisconsin. And with a swipe of their hand, they can now bypass things like badge checks in the office. But the skin tech has its critics. Some see another example of Big Brother watching your every move. Our reporter Diane Esterbrook explains.
Microchips, similar to the ones implanted in family pets, are now being embedded under the skin of the employees at a company in River Falls, Wisconsin.
In a lot of ways, it was easier than a shot. I mean, everybody's gotten a shot at a doctor. I almost didn't even feel it.
At what was described as a chipping party, a professional piercer implanted the radio frequency identification chips into the hands of employees. They're about the size of a grain of rice and will let employees access offices, sign onto computers, and buy snacks from a vending machine, all with the swipe of a hand. More than 50 of the firm's 85 employees were chipped, including Sam Bankston.
Well, I knew that there wasn't any weird science or anything strange going on with it, so I had no problem sticking it in my hand.
The company, Three Square Market, partnered with a Swedish-based firm, Biohacks International, to install the technology. President and CEO Todd Westby said the human chips aren't GPS-enabled and are secure.
We've got 256-bit encryption, and because it is a closed application, we basically have the keys to the kingdom for anything that gets published on this.
Experts say the chips might actually be more advantageous than key codes or access cards like the one I have because this could be stolen. And in fact, Three Square Market says it's already had inquiries from embassies, hospitals, and banks. Still, employee rights attorney Sean Wanta says the chips raise questions with him. He thinks workers could be sacrificing some privacy for convenience.
This card will be linked to vending machines so the employer can see what you're eating, when you're eating it. They might be able to see when you use the restroom. In piecing the information together, an employer can get a pretty good idea of what an employee's workday looks like.
The chips can be removed if an employee leaves the firm. The company says it's like having a splinter removed. And while the chips are approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, employee Katie Langer is taking a pass for now.
So my concern just is with the health effect. What's going to happen to my body when I'm putting this foreign object into my hand and down the road?
Three Square Market says it's investigating other applications for the chips and thinks one day their usage could become as common as smartphones. Diane Esterbrook, Al Jazeera, River Falls, Wisconsin.
All right, let's bring in our guests now to talk more about this. Joining us from Stockholm is Ben Liberton with the Swedish Medical Nanoscience Center and a critic of this microchip process. Johan Esterlund is the founder of Biohacks International. He joins us from Helsingborg in Sweden. And finally, Clara Grelson, who's been implanted with a microchip. She joins us also from Stockholm. Good to have you all with us. So, Johan Esterlund, if I could start with you, just explain to us, first of all, how this chip works and how it benefits people.
Well, to start, it benefits, well, among others, it gives you easier access and faster access, a smoother, smoother actions with your digital surroundings.
And what inspired you to come up with this?
Well, I guess it's been a childhood dream since I saw Johnny Mnemonic, really. Just being digital and being able to speak to machines makes life easier, I guess. And not to mention just that there's so many things.
How long did the whole process take from when you first came up with the idea to when you were first able to put it into action in some form?
Well, we made some research into how it would work under the skin. So you got the saline in the skin, you got blood, which is alkaline, which also traps some of the EM going into the NFC circuit. But as soon as we got it working, we understood that this could pave the way for a whole new field of technology. I mean, mixing my work with my interests just created this new discipline of body upgrades.
Clara Grelson, as someone who has been implanted with this chip yourself, tell us about the experience that you've had with it.
Well, as Johan says, it makes my day easier. So what I use it most for is to get into our office building and also access our floor, which was, it took me a lot more time to have, you know, find the card and swipe it and put my code in. So now I'm just kind of like just holding my hand in front of the machine and then the door opens. And so it saves a lot of time during the day. I am also using it for my gym chain, so the Swedish gym chain Sats. There I can just use it to enter the gym, basically. So I don't have to bring anything but my shoes and my bottle, so I can just enter. So I think that's what I use it the most for, but I'm also looking forward to when the Swedish Railway are starting to use it as the digital ticket.
And what's been the reaction that you've got on this from people that you've spoken to? Do they envy you for having this, or do they think it's a little strange, or what are they saying?
I think that most people think it's a bit strange. People that work within the media industry, of course, they are a bit more familiar with the whole idea. But it's far from everyone that has it. My friends that don't work within this business, they think it's very strange, but they also know that pets have had this kind of like under their skin for many, many years. So if they think about it that way, then it's nothing strange. But usually when they touch my hand and when they feel the chip, which is a bit more like a rice grain, then they think it's a bit weird that it's something under my skin.
Ben Liberton, what are some of the concerns that you have about this technology?
As it stands now and the uses that have been described, it's very innovative, very inventive, and I don't think that there is much danger associated or much risk associated with how it's being used right now. My problem is that as it stands now, there's a brand new way of data being transferred and quite intimately, invasively integrated into the human body. And the question is, where does this go in the future? Now, it could all be maintained and very, very safe and encrypted, but I think that has to be addressed very, very carefully, because there is a risk that as more integrations come into this kind of chip, as more data is being transferred, then there's a risk that it could either fall into the wrong hands by being hacked, or people could give away their own personal data without realizing it by signing up to terms and conditions with companies that are providing services associated with the chip.
At the moment, though, Ben Liberton, this is a completely voluntary exercise. I mean, the report we played earlier about the company in Wisconsin that's doing this, no one was forced into doing it. It's a completely a voluntary decision. So does that not address some of the concerns that you brought about privacy and so on, and this information being used in a way that people might not be comfortable with?
No, absolutely not. I think that's possibly even worse. I mean, when you think of the things that we do voluntarily, like giving information to Google and Facebook, I think that's the where a lot of people give away data for free. And so there's a two sides of looking at it. You can look at people stealing it and taking it from you, and I think voluntary and having a small user base, I think that's fine. But I think the problem is that people are very now accustomed to signing up things, giving away data, giving away privacy. And I think if you do it voluntarily, I think you're kind of more likely to forsake things like this. And as I say, at the moment now it's okay, but what data is going to be transferred in the future? That's my concern.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, August 3rd, 2017. So I have been told this is our weekly Workplace Racism Forum. If you have suggestions, if you are a black person especially, and you have figured out this is what to do, I can get a great job, work here as long as I want, make a great salary, not be fired, not be written up, not be accused of being surly, you're too quiet, you don't talk enough, you're not a team player, not fondled, cruise through, get a great office, enjoy your tenure, unharassed. If you have figured out how to do that as a black person, you should be on speed dial, first person to dial in and give us specific details on what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say, so that we can all enjoy that cushy position, even if we need to switch jobs or whatever. Certainly, always, if you have issues, if you're having any problems and you would like suggestions, feedback on your situation, always dial in the number 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. Number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. Audio segment we began the broadcast with today. Wow, that technology program coming on the cows, but in the meantime, whole new day on the plantation with that type of technology. Will be very interesting to see how that evolves, if this becomes more widespread. I could certainly see this sort of technology expanding and even moving to where it's no longer voluntary, what you heard in that clip, it being something that's required for people if they work. If you work in a field that requires some sort of security clearance, maybe a hospital, maybe in finance of some sort, I could see where they could say, hey, this is a part of it. This is a part of the job. This is a part of your duties and responsibilities. You got to have this chip implanted in your body. And if you refuse to do so, then that, you know, voids your employment or the possibility of you being employed for this particular position. I could easily see that happening, as I said, with specific fields down the road. But that, wow, will substantially change things if that becomes something that's widespread. I don't know if people, if we have any folks currently who are experiencing anything like that or think that could be in your field in the near future. Certainly you can give your commentary, but I definitely thought that that was something, you know, at least to think about for the future, and certainly conversations with your children. Because I would certainly think if you have children that are 12, 13, 14, certainly younger, by the time that they are of age to be working, this will certainly be something that's probably a real world issue for them, depending on, you know, which field they get into. Anywho, a couple quick things before we get started. If you would like to write in, if you don't have the ability to call, untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com. That is the email. You can drop me a line. We can read your commentary on the air. If you have suggestions based on what you've heard from listeners, if you have your own situation you would like to share, if you want to write it out, untiljustice@gmail.com. Remind folks also, This is not a spectator broadcast. A lot of folks have spectated up here in Seattle, Washington for the week. It's been super hot for this area. It is all of 85 degrees. I know folks down in Florida and Texas, that's a mild spring day. But it's been unusually hot in these parts for the week, so they have done lots of spectating. That is not what this broadcast is for. I'm pretty sure if you are a black person anywhere in the known universe right now and you have a job and or you have had a job, workplace racism has been a problem for you directly and or indirectly. Very important, I think, for us to have these types of conversations, just to see the types of things that whites are doing all over the world to abuse black people on the job. Just seeing the patterns, I think that can teach you a lot about racism, white supremacy. Also, I think you can develop strategies once you start to really pay attention, be scientific, and study how whites practice white supremacy on the job. We can do better about coming up with strategies, what to say, what not to say, that can really help minimize some of the problems that we face on the job. I think that really has been, you know, a major to our detriment, is that we have not had enough dialogue, conversation, and study about things that are happening on the job. That way we can better codify how we conduct ourselves while we are behind enemy lines. And that's even if we are, quote unquote, self-employed. I always encourage those folks to dial in and participate as well. A few quick things, and then we can get to the folks who dialed in. Some of the folks who wrote in already will share some of their commentary. We'll include more as we go. And then, you know, other folks, if you want to chip in, share any thoughts on what folks have written in, that's always encouraged as well. First person that wrote in. This is addressing workplace racism on Thursday, the 20th, 2017. So this is like 2 weeks ago. I believe the caller's name, Thomas from New York. And he said he was going to go over the people immediately responsible for denying his vacation and appeal to the president of the company. Okay, this from a while ago, just to refresh people's memory. Thomas from New York dialed in. He was asking for time off. The person who was in charge of giving time off, I think he said, was quote unquote Puerto Rican. And I think the pattern that he said she had been denying vacation time for black people born in the U.S., African-Americans were not getting leave. Everybody else, all the other non-white people, they would get their leave. No problem. Black people write in for their leave. Did not. African-Americans specifically. So he said he had wrote in well in advance. He followed all the procedures as had been outlined about when you could take your leave. They said wait till July. He did that. Put in for his leave. Didn't get it. He said he was going to take off anyway. And then if a problem came up, he was going to go to the white people in charge. That was the situation from 2 weeks ago. Continuing with the written letter. Watching the show Mad Men on HBO taught me something about the hierarchy of white supremacy racism in the workforce. Every time one of the higher ups came into the office of a subordinate, he would immediately address the other people in the room, answer questions they were asking, give promotions they were begging the subordinate for, etc., to wrap up their business with this subordinate because he already knew what was going on, even if there was mistreatment. They communicate and they situate cameras and listening devices in order to always keep track of everything, so know that they see you coming. Always, I think, a good position to work from, that you're probably not going to have any secrets. And in this situation, if I'm remembering correctly, Thomas, if he's available, he might be able to give us the update on how all of this progressed over the past couple of weeks. But in this sort of situation, I don't think there would be a need for secrecy. Really, I would say generally in any type of workplace situation, I don't think if you're doing the correct thing, never any need for secrecy. And I always think it's great to assume that whites are way more informed about you are in terms of racism, white supremacy, and then with the job specifically, they are way more informed than you are. I've said that for years. White people, they do a phenomenal job networking, texting one another, particularly as it comes to managing their niggers. They're talking all the time. And the whites on the job, that's what they do. They sit around and gossip. The guys and the gals, for white people, do not get it confused. But they do a phenomenal job of that. We've had victims of racism on the program from outside the U.S. where they said the same thing, where they could see it was clear that their white colleagues had been talking. They had been swapping notes about what had happened, what progressed, what they were going to do the next day. It was obvious that they were all on the same page. And that's the same pattern that I have seen. So absolutely. I'm sure Thomas was not thinking he's pulling anything over on the white people at the job. But I think that's just a general great rule to think you're not surprising whites. They probably got camera. Hey, now they're injecting the camera in your body and what have you. So absolutely, you're not surprising them. You're not tricking them. You're not fooling them. We just want to follow logic and ask questions. I will include some of the other written commentary. I guess I can read this one really quick as well. This is from a black male listener. I'd like to share my experience with the group. 2 weeks ago, I was approached by my plantation master about taking a higher position on another affiliated plantation. He told me he didn't want me to accept it because he really liked me. I spoke with the other manager and he convinced me to make the change and I would get higher compensation, always a plus. Today, I learned that not only did my promotion get canceled, but the position is eliminated altogether. I found out my master went to an even higher ranking white supremacist and complained that he couldn't find anyone qualified to replace me. Guess that's what I get for dreaming. Sad part is I applied for the position in January, but was denied. No one else even wanted it. I let it go for months. Then they approached me. Must be that terrorism we speak of. Absolutely. And it's been my experience. Whites, they live for this sort of thing. And this is why I said, I know totally. This is not fun. It is not cool. It's not enjoyable to dial in and have to talk to a bunch of strangers about, yes, I was given a promotion. Thankful, looking forward to moving up, getting better compensation. And then the racists came down and told me, no, I was not getting the promotion. Yes, I was looking forward. I was waiting all day long to call in with glee to talk about that. I totally get it. But I'm pretty sure this is the type of thing that black people worldwide are experiencing from whites. This is what racism is. And I think a lot of times when we don't talk about these issues, we can sometimes think that it's us that, oh man, you know, racists really gunning for me and I can't believe this happened and beating up on ourselves and being really depressed about it and not realizing, oh man, this is the same thing that they do all the time. They live to disappoint black people and, oh, we set him up good, had him all thinking he was going to get that new car and whammo, snatched it. All the time. They love it, especially if it looks like you got plans like, oh man, he's already thinking how he's going to spend those extra nickels. He's going to get married or going to get a new house or going to get a car. Whammo, you'll get nothing. Like, love it. In fact, I even remember I had a white guy. He was not even my supervisor. This is when I worked in California. I worked in the school system. He worked in one of the classrooms that was a little bit down the hall from where I was. I'm coming out and he's like, yeah, you're still down there with those slackers. And he's making fun of all the people that I work with. And he's like, yeah, you should come and work for our team. Get on the winning side where he gets his jab in. This is a white guy. Get his jab in. And then he can build you back up. Like, yes, if you come work with us, we'll groom you. You won't be with those lazy bones. And you can come down here and work with the winners, the A-plus classroom. They love to do that sort of thing. In workplace settings, really anywhere, but especially workplace settings. With that, we'll go ahead and get to some of the folks who dialed in. If you have any thoughts, suggestions for the folks who dialed in, I guess, Thomas, since you were mentioned, if you want to give us the update on how your leave situation was handled, that would be grand too. The number again, 641-715-3640, and the code is 564-943-pound. Press *6. If you would like to participate, if folks have any, I guess, direct experience or thought about whether or not this biotechnology, them putting chips and what have you in your body while you're on the job to kind of, I guess, allow you access to different rooms or what have you, computer access, that sort of thing. If folks have any thoughts on that, certainly would be appreciated as well. Folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open. Feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus, and greetings the rest of the callers and the listeners. This is Rob in Milwaukee. guess I'll start touching on the microchip implant. being as though that. thank you. It really defines the black people's condition here. It is so bad. Grassroots activist on a radio program said they're comparing the conditions in Milwaukee right now for black people to a third world country. so like just the total domination, control of everything that you're doing. I easily see this becoming mandatory. And to tie that into my workplace racism for the week, I am a driver for daycare for non-white people, which I am thankful for. But working for non-white people, I still see the domination of white people. The state of Wisconsin, like worker, or I don't know what his exact title is, but a white person in charge come to check on the daycare. I'm pulling up with some children. He pull up like the young people is driving in the city right now. Wow. Pull up, hop out, and going right to the buzzer, reckless. And I noticed that the door is open. I politely open the door for him, say, good morning. And then open the door for him. He say something, and I'm like, no, thank you. just like how he approached, his approach was very, his energy was very disrespectful. Very like, you know, I don't want to be around you niggas. I got to come down here and deal with you people. Hurry up. Picking up children early in the morning, non-white children, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, coming out in dirty clothing. And again, I'm seeing how total white domination has made black people dysfunctional. And knowing who is to blame for all of this, you know, it's becoming very heavy how we treat each other in the confines of this city. I had my car vandalized last night. They didn't even steal the car, just bust the window. Messed up the ignition so I can't drive it. And I work 10 blocks from my house. So it's not a big stretch, but it's like a pretty busy street that you got to cross to get there or whatever. Now, I got to drive the daycare van home on my break today, but when... as I was leaving today, I was told that is not, that's not acceptable because safety issues. It's been safety issues with the daycare vehicles, a lot of break-ins and everything like that. And it's just kind of like ironic that now I'll be walking and or catching the bus to a job where I'm going to drive. And we're being dominated so much that I'm not even allowed to use the vehicle that I'm driving in for like 8 hours a day to just go a couple of blocks. And I was pretty upset about that. And I just had to really take it in and understand who I'm upset at. So, yeah, man, I see us black people, man, being on total lockdown.
world prison and plant the chips in these niggas. Thank you for taking my call.
Sorry it has been that so rough in Wisconsin for you, Rob, and that's statewide, worldwide, but especially in Wisconsin. That vehicle thing on the job, I've seen that both ways, where I worked at a job where they had like vehicles, right, that you could check out, or sometimes you had to do driving. Sometimes they had lots of vehicles, a whole fleet. And I saw where they would be white people. They could take a vehicle and take it home, not just drive home for lunch or, you know, whatever, because they live coast. But I mean, they could drive home and kick it for, you know, the night, days, whatever the case is. Checked out, they got the key, bring it back, and, you know, keep on pushing. But for black people, totally different rules. Thousand time different rules. I've seen that experience. In fact, I can give another anecdote. Had to check out a vehicle, had to drive, and I had to transport a child. Thankfully, only one child. It was like a 90 minute trip. 90 minute trip, well over like 80 mile drive. White person comes in and reports and says that Gus, he logged that he had to drive, like, let's say it was 80 miles. He had to drive 80 miles for this trip. I did the search online, and it only is 20 miles from here to wherever the destination was. And I had to go and get the address, go online, and say, do you see this where it says 87 miles to get to the location? This is where we're going. You were in error, and it's no retraction. Nope, my bad. I was wrong. Sorry for the false. Nothing. So I can definitely say with those vehicles, the allegations are ready to fly. They are ready to. He looked at it wrong, or he scratched it. He was out joyriding in it, or whatever the case. So I would, whatever the policy and procedure is, fine. Nope. If I lived a block away, I would just follow the procedure. And as you said, understand, whites are dominating us right now. They are to blame. And, you know, I guess being thankful that you said you only live about 10 blocks away. So it's not like you live on the other side of the city. But man, I know that is a pain, and particularly to have it because your car got vandalized. Like, oh, man, you'll be in our thoughts and prayers. I hope things improve drastically before the end of the month, sir. Did other folks have commentary for what Rob had to share? If you had your own situation you wanted to comment on, or I guess any of the other folks who wrote in as well. Stacy in the UK is with us as well. Shifting, folks still spectating. Any of the folks that had a hand up have commentary, or folks still spectating?
Who vandalizes his car?
Not sure. He didn't. They didn't catch.
Oh, okay.
The culprit. No one was apprehended, to my knowledge.
Oh, I can definitely understand the anger. You know, because you put so much into transportation of your own, as opposed to having to rely upon public transportation, and somebody just in a few seconds just destroy that. And not only that, it makes it, you know, just about everything. It's amazing how such, you know, material things are so essential into your daily routine. I was thinking about the chip situation. I would figure this, it would probably be professions and or jobs that render viable compensation. And one thing I do know, they're not going to specifically ask black people what they think about it before they make that decision. That's for sure. It may be an indirect situation, you know, with this quote unquote perceived collective understanding from all people, but they're not going to specifically ask any non-white black people, especially, about making that decision. So white people, they have a means of manipulating through some very devious deceit and or direct force to be able to get us to do things that they need us, they need or demand for us to do. And I can see it happening. I can see it happening, and happening in a very short period of time also. Shorter than a lot of people think. I'm talking about, well, it's already happening, but obvious, but from the standpoint to whereas it becomes almost a routine situation as opposed to being strange as it is now. It can quickly become routine, you know, as far as that concerned. I mean, you can't, your kids can't come to school if they don't have a chip in their leg or something, you know, that sort of thing. That is possible. So those are my thoughts right now, and I'll continue to listen and participate.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir, Mr. Steele.
Awesome. This is Ken Steele, and I'm currently in Chino Hills, California. And I wanted to touch on the microchip implant that they're, rolling out in various corporate settings, it seems like. I've been hearing about a number of different reports from all over the world, and it looks like private sector corporations are the means with which they're going to start rolling this out. And actually, if you look back in the history of biometric enhancements or implants, they were first used in livestock. And then they were applied to pets. They're used to routinely to track expensive pets that suspected rapists they like to buy and everything like that. So I thought that they were going to roll this out and into the school application first, but it looks like they're rolling this out on people's jobs and making it seem like, hey, the minor convenience of getting into your door a little quicker is worth this intrusion, this biological intrusion into your body. But at the same time, we have to realize that there are already biometric scans that are in place in a number of different workplace settings. I know I'm a part of a gym, and upon joining the gym, they took my fingerprint so that they could go ahead and allow me to scan and log into the gym by using my fingerprint. So they have my fingerprint scan. I think your phone, I think if you have a Samsung phone, they have retina scans that are already built into the device so that you only have to look at the device to unlock the device, so that you don't have to do any sort of input. On my iPhone 7 Plus, I know that there's a thumbprint scan. So I scan my thumbprint, and I'm sure that, you know, Apple is collecting that data in their iCloud. I know that some laptops, I know that my sister had an Acer laptop a few years ago, and they had a scan for your index finger to unlock the computer. So, you know, I don't see this implanting of chips as anything too alarming compared to what we already have and what they can already do with the information that they do have. My only suspicion with these chips and whatnot is that they can be hackable. And that comes when, and those risks come about when they start talking about these more next level biological enhancements that they have devised and that they're currently beta testing and that they're currently discussing on various forums on the internet. So that's about that topic. But in my workplace situation this week, I wanted to report that You know, I am a comedian, and I'm operating here in Southern California, and a lot of my shows are based in Hollywood, to be specific. And I'm learning firsthand what it is to be so Hollywood, or to, you know, go Hollywood, so to speak. I'm definitely experiencing what a lot of comedians have experienced in the form of censorship. The show that I was supposed to be performing on today, I was canceled for that show because of comments that I left on a news, on a local news story feed. I just made a joke. It was a story about two, about like a Marine and his wife, and they were both law enforcement officials, and apparently they died in some sort of plane crash or something like that. And the comment that I left was, it looks like we're minus two racists. Now, I know that I probably should have said, I suspect that we're minus two racists, or I suspect that these people were racist, but I you know, I was just, you know, it was just a joke. And a lot of people were commenting and liking and responding to the comments and everything like that. And some of these people went ahead and contacted the owner of the establishment that I was booked to perform on. And the thing is, this owner is a comedian, so I would think that they would be, you know, all about the free speech, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, he called me talking about some people were leaving some comments on his Yelp page and on his Facebook page and everything like that, and he didn't like that. And you know, I shrugged my shoulder. I said, you know, the damage is done. You know, I deleted the post. So what do you want? And then he said, well, to satisfy these people, I'm canceling you. And I was just like, look, these are trolls from the internet. And he said, doesn't matter. I don't care. Free speech doesn't even matter in this case. I don't care. You know, he was telling me all this. I'm just like, oh, I thought this was comedy. And so the way, and now I don't really feel too bad about the fact that I was canceled. It just saves me a trip to going into Hollywood. I mean, I've already performed on the stage in the past. And my way of, I guess, rectifying and dealing with this is that my only concern is that I just don't want it to already in this nascent stage, as I'm already, you know, starting to get booked at more and more venues, I just don't want it to come about that, you know, booking me comes with this, you know, problematic online anything. So what I'm doing is I'm just going to go ahead and tomorrow I'm just going to thank the owner and the bar for, you know, supporting, you know, comedy, for supporting free speech and, you know, doing all of this. And then I have pictures of us together smiling. So I'm going to be posting that, and then I'm going to have him, I'm going to have it say that, you know, I want to thank him for supporting, you know, my comedy and every single thing that I say. And I'm just going to leave that post, and I'm going to share it with all the trolls that, you know, were in glee at me being canceled. So, you know, I just, I really don't appreciate the fact that I'm being treated like this by somebody who calls himself a comedian, but at the same time, I totally understand. This is Hollywood, and this is how it goes. And yeah, that is my workplace racism for the week. Thank you.
Hollywood is a planet of racism, it seems. I think that's a great code, particularly if you know you're in one of those professions. I think we talked about this before when I think a caller wrote in and they were asking about LinkedIn. And do you put a real photo up or not? And I think a part of that discussion was it depends. It might depend on the profession that you're in. If you're a comedian, if you're in entertainment, you might have to have that picture up. You know, might have to have a whole lot of pictures up. In fact, you might also have to have a very different code about social media in terms of how you function, what you post, that sort of thing. Even as a comedian, apparently racist man, racist woman, they get to decide what is funny. And I've seen that happen a lot with comedians, because Bill Maher, that happens like every once every 50 years, or white people, they can come out and say whatever they want. and they don't get canceled, they don't get fired, they don't lose revenue or anything like that, don't even have to apologize. Black people, I see where black comedians in particular get in trouble all the time for something that they said or were trying to be funny, whatever the case. I've seen that on a pretty regular basis. So definitely, and it's great when you're in that type of field, go ahead and develop your code. This is from now on, this is how I will use social media. Make sure this sort of thing doesn't happen again. I know Dr. Kanban, he's a big fan of not having social media. That doesn't seem practical if you're in the entertainment field, but at least being mindful of the trolls. I think that would be a whole nother, you know, code if you're an entertainer. So you got to use Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff to how do I navigate with racist trolls and make sure that I am not getting in trouble or having unnecessary problems with racists because of social media. If we have other folks who we've not heard from, if you have commentary on any of the folks who dialed in, or if you have your own commentary, feel free. I did want to say, yes, ma'am. I just want to say one quick comment for the caller who wrote in about where the racists did the real tacky effort at denying the promotion. I think Mr. Fuller, he also gives out a suggestion about making sure we do not like accumulate a lot of unnecessary things. I think that is so, so important. Like anytime, I adopt this code myself until I have it in my hand. If we're talking about a raise, like I have it in my hand or I see it in my account or whatever it is, I'm not jumping up and down. I'm not celebrating. I'm not planning. I mean, that's just the way, in my view, it is a constructive way to operate because I'm really serious about making sure racists are not going to have me jumping up and down like I, you know, won something and then, ha, nigga, wrong. No, I make every effort to make sure that sort of thing does not happen. So I'm a big, big advocate when it comes to workplace situations. Man, nothing is official until it's there. And it sounds like maybe the caller, when he wrote in, it sounds like he might have had some of that strategy. But I would just strongly recommend that because racists, they love, 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 love this sort of thing. Oh, you got the promotion. Whoops. No, you didn't. I'm so sorry for interrupting you, ma'am. Proceed. The female caller that spoke up a second ago, are you still with us, ma'am? I don't know if she muted herself so that I could get my...
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, it seemed like the line went dead. I just wanted to say really quick just my opinion about the biometrics and then a workplace racism story that I have. So I have been hearing other people talk about the fact with the chips, and I think actually maybe some coworkers have spoken about it, but I know I've also heard of articles as well. I think it was like in Europe, maybe in Sweden, one of those places. And then I've also seen some more, of course, I didn't get a chance to listen to the opening of the show, but I feel like it seems like with those instances, my opinion is that it would be more along the lines of, you know, like another caller said, for the professions that you make a lot of money, or for like the professions where it's very like secretive, as far as like actually the chip, because I feel like that would probably be costly to install chips in all of your employees. And then on top of that, you know, also have like the maintenance of the scanners and everything like that. I know I've had jobs. There was like, I've worked in a grocery store where you had like the fingerprint. And then I've also worked in a nursing home where you had the fingerprint. And that seemed like those machines seem, I guess, somewhat economical for like the businesses. And oddly enough, the nursing home is not in a, it got shut down not that long ago by the state. But I feel like with the chips, it seems like they're more, I just would seem like, it just seemed like it would be more costly, at least like right now. So that's basically my take on that part. And then with my workplace racism, like I had expressed before, I have been really making an effort to not let my racist supervisor upset me too much to where I'm having a breakdown. a few weeks back where I just felt like I just couldn't take it. And so I'm really just really trying to take the opportunity to just study him as much as possible, because I feel like he is definitely one of the most refined racists that I've ever encountered, at least as a supervisor. And I've been making the effort to ask questions, still trying to refrain from being a smart aleck, and it's really on the tip of my tongue every time. You know, he really gives me, I feel like he's basically pushing me to that opportunity to say something, you know, real smart aleck to him. But I've also been trying to make sure that if I feel like he's not answering my question, I'll say very calmly, that didn't quite answer my question. Maybe I can restate it so that way I can be better understood. So I still feel like that's somewhat, you know, a little sarcastic, but it still would at least let him know that this is not something that you can just use buckets and buckets of words to not answer the question. Or to, like, this recently, we had a meeting, I asked a question, and he had to start out with this whole explanation. And then finally towards the end, you know, it took a couple of minutes. And then finally towards the end, he did say, oh, well, you know, he did finally answer my question why we're once again changing another process. The last thing that I wanted to mention was that I probably have mentioned it before, and I know we've all mentioned, I've heard it being mentioned on the show, where if we try to put in for a transfer, of course, whites, they place you where you're going to be placed, or else you can just basically, you know, leave the corporation or leave the job, the plantation, whatever. So I noticed that yet again, another white person, an underperformer, a white woman, was able to go to a different area when months ago I had asked, and they're like, you know, no, since, you know, basically since I really made an effort to know what I was doing, or it could have been that, or just because they just did not want to fulfill my request. They said, no, nobody can move from out of the area from what I'm doing. And just recently they let this white woman, for no reason at all, move from out of the area. And it seems like at this time we're somewhat shorthanded. Now, they did bring in a black male, so that's kind of interesting. So it's almost like she traded places with the black male. I haven't really got an opportunity to, you know, try to see what's happening, especially since I'm not necessarily in the office every day. But I just wanted to just point out that observation. Thank you for listening.
Interesting. Great job refraining from being snarky and just asking questions and then making sure your question is answered. Like, that is phenomenal. And that right there, I think sometimes just, you know, working to make sure that you are courteous, calm, polite, and getting, but all the while I'm making sure I get my question answered, because I'm trying to do my job, trying to make sure that I stay employed and hopefully get all my raises and promotions. So hopefully you can, you know, give me the information I need so that we can continue to make a lot of money here and have a successful enterprise. But that is great. And even while you were sharing, Red, number one, Amphastar Pharmaceuticals is down to about $15.70. It's dropped $3 since we started kind of paying, or at least since I started paying attention to it this summer on the program. That could be, yay, you can buy it a little cheaper now, or maybe it's not going to do as well. This is the company that makes Narcan to deal with the opioid problem, but they are down to about 15 and a half. The other thing I was thinking was, I think it would be really good to have either a routine, something, a routine or an item, something that we have that we can do while we are at work to just kind of get our center back, just something that kind of helps bring us calm, bring us back to mindfulness, things that we should be paying attention to in the workplace. If we are upset about something, to give us kind of a moment to focus on that. Why am I upset about it? Do I need to write something down? What am I going to do to address that? And then just kind of get recentered so that we can go back and deal with these race soldiers for the rest of our shift or the rest of the day or whatever it is. You can have something. It can be small. They have massagers. My friend has one. They have massagers that you can put like on your neck or your back where you can just turn it on, do a quick 10 minutes. They're not super expensive. I think they're like $40, where you can get a pretty quality. He's had it for, I think, a year or so, maybe even longer than that. But it works great. You can have one of those. Depends on what you're into. But just something, I would say something that's very small so that you can leave. Because I've said before about not having things in your work area. So it would have to be something very small. So it's not a knickknack. It's not out on my desk. And I would want it to be something that's discreet. If it's something that you can exit, you can go to your vehicle for 5 minutes or what have you and just kind of calm yourself. Even if it's music, if you have certain music that you listen to. I know Dr. Welsing recommended Baroque music. It's like classical music. You probably recognize some of the songs if you heard them. But just something that can kind of calm you. You can kind of focus. Even prayer for some people. If you just take 2-3 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes even, and pray. You can even do it. I know some people said just saying Dr. Welsing's name. Or it can be, you know, other ancestors, grandcestors, just saying their name. If you can get a quiet spot, again, you can go to your vehicle or what have you. But just something that kind of gets your center back so that you can focus. You can even take time to just recognize where you are. If it's been a difficult day, recognize that. You know, why it's been difficult and what you're going to do to proceed. But I think that can be really helpful to kind of mitigate racists when they're really aggravating you and just really messing over you for the day, as opposed to that building up and you getting angry and maybe losing your temper. You can just take a few moments, gather, compose yourself, and you go back and deal with the rest of the day. Other folks, appreciate that, Red. If other folks have commentary, particularly if we have not heard from you at all, if we've not heard from you at all, line should be open. Proceed.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. I think I heard two black females, but I heard both of them.
This is Nikki from Dallas. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Great. Hey, Gus. Hey, everyone. It's been a long time since I've called in. I was the one that had the fidget machine, the fidget cube on my desk. But excuse me. I was calling because after that incident, a couple of weeks later, our whole department was informed that we would be losing our jobs. So our last day is like they're projecting September 29th. So everyone's been kind of in an uproar about what they're going to do because most of the people there are white and have been there for a long time. They recently gave us our packages that we're getting. And of course, I've only been there a couple of years, so my package is way smaller than what they're getting. Some of these people are getting like 50 weeks of income versus the 2 months I'm getting. So there's been a lot. I noticed that there's been a lot of chattering, a lot of people going into corners talking, and I've been trying to keep notice of that. You know, normally I'll have my earphones in, but I have them in, but I wouldn't have anything on so I can make sure I'm listening to what they're saying as far as what they're getting. You know, they're discussing their insurance and the even the amount of money that they're getting, which is surprising to me. But I just try to make sure that I'm paying attention to what they're doing. And I even have another coworker who's a black female. She's not as codified as I am, but she'll sometimes engage in their conversations, their side conversations they're having, and she'll come back and tell me what they're saying. But I wanted to bring up a point that in the interim, I've been applying for jobs, and I'm noticing that a lot of jobs now are requiring you to take these tests, which I think are weird. I would call them like a psychological test. They have no rhyme or reason to why they ask the questions, in my opinion. I just think that that's strange to do. And I wanted to know if anyone else has come across that applying for jobs. And I also wanted to get the Cal's listeners' opinion on how can I maximize my payout. I was told that my severance package would be in one lump sum, and that would be taxed, and they weren't. I asked them, could I get it in my two-week period increments, and they told me that I couldn't do that. So I wanted to know how could I maximize my check without them taking out so much of the taxes. And I live in Texas, if that makes a difference. And with that, I'll mute my line.
What was you said you called in previously about, what was it on your desk?
Oh, the little fidget cube. My coworker accused me of recording her.
Oh, I remember. You wrote in about that. I remember.
Yes.
Yes. You're working with Homeland Security or something. We got a mole.
I guess
here.
So.
She's spying on us. Okay, so myriad of questions. What was the second question before you got to maximizing your payout?
Well, the second question was the test that some of these jobs are requiring you to take. I just feel that's weird. I mean, you don't even have the job yet, and they're asking you all these questions. I just have never experienced so many companies asking you to do that now.
What type of questions? Do you remember some of them specifically?
Like, how often do you feel like it's okay to be late for work sometimes, all the time, or never? Or what are some questions? I mean, it's just, I guess, behavioral questions. How do you feel if you don't get your work done at the end of the day? How do you prioritize your day? Just things like that.
I see. I think we had a conversation about this in like the autumn of 2016, where some other people had very similar tests and questions. It was like it was on workplace racism too. It was extensive because a lot of people apparently were familiar with those types of tests. And I think people were giving their different opinions on why they were giving those tests. I think some people thought it was they're just trying to gather as much information as they can for particular jobs. Sometimes they're looking for ways of catching you being deceptive with those questions, because they're trying to ask the same questions using different wording to see if you give.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably could put my hand, but I'm thinking it was like September. It was autumn 2016, but I think it was a number. I think retired firefighter might have been there. I think he might have had some familiarity with that, even some of the other folks that are here. But I think we had some listeners who had some familiarity, expertise, quite a few opinions on those tests and why they were being given. So it seems like they could be more widespread. The fight you said maximizing. I'll see if I can.
Maximizing my severance package. I've been told to either change my exemption or to put that on tax exempt, period. I'm not for sure which route would be more beneficial to me.
So
if anyone can answer that question, it would be great.
Right on. Any suggestions on what would be in her best interest in terms of maximizing her payout, how she's going to classify? Even if folks don't have direct input right now, certainly the archives, if you hear this and you do have expertise, because I know we do have folks who have much more expertise financially who might have a suggestion or two on that. If you listen to the archives, you can drop me an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. If you drop me an email, and then I can pass it along, because I believe our caller has emailed me before, so I can just pass it along to her if folks hear it in the archives and want to share a thought. But any suggestions on that in terms of how she should maximize her payout? Maybe not.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
The only thing that I could suggest, because I was actually this is Red from Ohio. I am actually planning on leaving my job, and I kind of had like a similar issue with like my 401k. But the only concern that I have, because at least from my perspective, when I was speaking to some of the representatives from the bank, like here in Ohio, you can either get your whole lump sum at once, or they can tax it themselves, or they can take it out before they would give it to me. But the thing is that, you know, you're still going to have to pay it. And I've had a friend where she did actually, it was more along the lines of like the regular pay. And she had like, you know, changed her exemption, and it ended up, the government ended up, I forgot what it's called when they take your money before you even get it. So that would just definitely be one of my concerns for the female caller, is if she were to go non-exempt, and then if you were to get audited or something like that, and then, you know, they'll just make you you know, pay that money back. And like with my friend's instance, she had to pay it back with interest and fees. I'm sorry if that's not helpful, but I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Appreciate that, Red. We had other people dialed in more recently with a hand up. Do we have any other folks who had a tip or suggestion on how our caller in Texas can maximize her payout? Perhaps no.
Can I be heard?
Yes, Amy.
Oh, greetings, beautiful people. I do not know a whole lot about money and the finances and taxes, well, taxes specifically. But the little bit that I do know, if it's any help, I think that claiming non-exempt so you get all of your money back, the only question that I would have for you is when you file taxes, do you get a refund? If you typically get a refund, that means that you're overpaying anyway. So if you haven't secured employment, I know you don't want to fall into the situation that Ms. Red just previously stated. But if you don't have another job already, then you do want all of your money. The only way to, as far as I know, the only way to get all of that money is to claim non-exempt, so you get all of it. If you budget, then if, you know, anything happens, you're able to make it a little bit longer until you secure employment. And then when you secure employment at your next job and you pay taxes that way through your check, then maybe your refund won't be as large to account for that money. But it just, I don't know if it's the wisest choice. I don't know, you know, what all is dependent on your check, but to allow money to be taken out, especially because if they give it to you in one big lump sum, they're going to take more. But hopefully that's helpful.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Did you have another question, caller in Texas? And I'll keep an eye on my email if someone drops me any tips for you specifically, and just make sure, maybe you can put that in the subject if you have any suggestions specifically for our female caller about her tax situation. Just put that in the subject and then I can forward along. But did you have another question? Just making sure we got all of the issues you raised.
No, they were very helpful. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Was there another female caller who spoke up simultaneously? I thought I heard two people.
Hi, Gus.
Oh, Stacy in London joining us a little after 2 a.m. Friday morning.
It is 2:07. Yeah, so I did. It wasn't so much to do with the last caller, to be honest with you. It was a comment about the the chip. And I had a question. Do you guys over there have biometric passports?
Yes, I believe so. Right, guys and gals? And they have the new, in Washington State, they have the new, they call them smart IDs that are biometric. They cost a little bit more and they take a long time to get. I just griped about my visits to get licensing, but man, they won't even let you get those. If you come in, I think like an hour before they get ready to close, you can't even get those. But they have those for the state issue license. And then they also have those for the pass. Am I right? I'm not making that up, right? Don't they have that for the passport, right? Folks in the states not know about the passports, biometric passport. I guess I could look online, but I was pretty sure that they had that. Anybody here have a passport?
I do. I'm not aware of any biometric scan, though.
Me either. I know my... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, after you.
I know that actually my relative, the only new thing that I've ever heard with passports is now they have, like, passport cards. But just here in Ohio, we've only still had, like, from what I've heard, we've only still had just, like, the regular, you know, paper. Course, nothing, you know, with a retina scan or anything like that.
Okay, I'm looking online. This is not Wikipedia. Hold on one second, Mr. Steele. I'm just looking online. It says all passports issued in the last 5 years ever since Western Hemisphere Passport Initiative 2000. Heard? Oh, hang on 1 second.
Oh, never mind. Mm-hmm.
All passports issued in the last 5 years, ever since the Western Hemisphere Passport Initiative in 2009, has all features, and this includes is a combined paper and electronic passport that contains biometric information and can be used to authenticate the identity of travelers. And it says that the photo is supposed to meet the new biometric standards, and it is legal. This is online that they're saying this is for U.S. passports. Mr. Steele?
Are we still on?
Oh, am I being heard? What the world? What the world?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was what I just read online. Did people hear what I just read online?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool. Mr. Steele, you were going to comment?
I did.
Oh, okay. Retired.
Yeah, I.
Go ahead, Mr. Steele.
I just wanted to say that as far as biometric scans go, also your picture ID counts as a biometric scan. I don't know if you are aware of this, but if you are on Facebook and you have been uploading pictures of yourself, they have a 3D rendering of your face on file. They know what your face looks like in a number of different angles, in a number of different emotional states. I mean, if you've been uploading pictures to Facebook alone, that has all of your biometric, your facial biometric scans already put in there. And then I don't know if you've noticed this, but on phone, they're starting to be able to more easily be able to scan where your face is. So my iPhone, there's a breakdown of who I've taken photos of. It has analyzed exactly who is in these photos, and it has these photos broken down by their identity. I mean, they can take your facial structure and then go ahead and authenticate your identity that way. So when they say that there's biometric scans on your passports, that means
that's sufficient, Mr. Steele. That's sufficient. Great, great. Did we have other folks that were going to come? The passport thing? I think Stacy in the UK, she was going to continue with it. Was that all you were going to say about the passport? You just wanted to ask to see if they were biometric in the U.S.? I'm saying yes, I think they are. Mr. Steele, I think, was saying yes, they are. The picture alone would count. Was that sufficient?
Yeah. I mean, I was asking because they are becoming a requirement over here in the UK. And I know, I think I've probably got one now that people have explained that, because I have, I think where I visited the US in particular, they have actually scanned our eyes coming in through customs. So, so my point was going to be on in terms of the chip. I just think it will become so, it will be presented in a way which is so convenient that people won't actually object to it, even though, you know, the initial article or news item that was played did sound concerning. It, you know, people, and they were also marketed in a way which people, including non-white people, will think it's the coolest thing ever to have. So, you know, I can just see people going for this without any real concern and companies getting away with it. So that was going to be my comment on that. And just on a sort of related matter, I remember a few years ago when my daughter was at school being asked to sign a form for her to get involved in a volunteering program. And it was over here, it's Duke of Edinburgh Awards. It's just, I'm sure you will have something similar in the US where school children are being invited to get involved in community projects. And I remember reading the small print on the form and it asking if they could take her DNA and keep it on file. And for the life of me, I have no idea why her DNA would ever be required, and certainly why they would need to keep it on file. So obviously I didn't approve it, but it's just the way in which these things get introduced in a way which people probably don't question. I do have some updates, Gus, but I'll come back because if you wanted to continue with the conversation about the passports and the financial questions that the other caller had.
All right, on. Context of white supremacy. Yeah, I think unless something drastic happened, we'll see if we get an email update for the financial information, the passports. Folks can check that, I guess, on their own. If you have a passport, I guess to double check to see if, you know, what features your passport has. And then if you don't, to maybe check and see what updates have occurred, because they're considerable. I know if you can get a biometric state ID, I am real sure that there's all kinds of info on your passport. But I know they have biometric state IDs in Washington. I'm sure other places, too, because I think that was all a big part of the post 9/11 push to get, you know, all that fancy gadgetry to make sure we don't have any more, you know, terrorist infiltration, quote unquote. Other folks who dialed in that had commentary, workplace racism, if you had suggestions on what we've heard thus far, if you had your own situation you wanted to touch on, feel free. Line should be open.
Can I be heard really quick?
Yes, Emmy.
Greetings. Again, sorry about that. But just two things. I think the question was specific to passports and other things like that, but as a pharmacy tech, I have to have my fingerprint scanned, and I use that to confirm any work that I do, and there's really no way around that system. It used to be that you could, like, type in a code, but it wasn't time efficient. So I guess perhaps because I already know that kind of information and I'm aware of the social media and stuff like that, I think when I look at things like chess, I kind of just accept that that's what white supremacy has done, has given them much of an advance even in that way. And so I'm just like a driver's license. To me, the biometric doesn't even really seem that much different from having just an ID. I mean, of course, you know, they can, like, use a satellite and pinpoint your face and stuff like that, but that's already been done. Like, it's, you know. But moving on, then there was a question about, like, personality tests. I do remember that conversation, but I can't remember exactly when it was. So just to at least comment on it in case you're unable to locate exactly which workplace racism conversation it was. I'll just say one of the, because when I'm applying, I'm noticing them and I always get frustrated by them. And I think what I said the last time was I just give them the answer that they want. But the problem with that is that computers use algorithms and they can actually tell that that's what you're doing based off of how you're answering the question. So I think just being aware that there is a computer that is computing and, like, gathering information on how fast it's taking you to respond, the rate at which you're responding, yes or no, somewhat, strongly agree, slightly disagree, neutral, or whatever. These last couple of times I've been applying, I've been picking more of a neutral stance and then picking something either to the left or right of that. So instead of having really strongly disagree or strongly agree, I'll either just be neutral about the situation or I might somewhat agree or somewhat disagree, just so that I don't have, like, if you're looking at a bell curve, I don't have these outliers or any extremes that might indicate anything. I think kind of staying in the middle allows me to say, or perhaps hopefully, I don't know for sure, but the algorithm will just be, it depends. Because a lot of the questions are situational. If a coworker was stealing, would you say something? If a coworker is having a bad day, would you involve yourself in their personal matters? I mean, I guess it kind of depends. Did somebody's family member just die? I might talk with them a little bit more. If they're having issues with their boyfriend, I might not. So I don't know if that's helpful, but just so at least there's a little bit of a comment on your question. Thank you. That's it.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Like I said, I think some of the people that participated in that extensive dialogue on those questionnaires before might be present right now. If you want to, if you recall what you said, or you want to give an update to that analysis, feel free. But yeah, I wasn't saying it to squash commentaries, just because I remember we did talk about that. It seems that these are widespread, and a lot of our listeners have some familiarity with those tests. But yeah, if other folks, if you want to share a thought or two, that's fine as well. Do we have other folks we've not heard from at all? Anybody that has a hand up that has not spoken, feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Cool. Thank you. Hi. I wanted to chime in on workplace racism. I'm the one that works at the hotel, and they leave it a mess all the time for me. Front desk always disarray, housekeeping rooms a mess, everything's just a mess. Now they're starting to write me up for that because I'm not there because I'm graveyard. So while I'm not there in the daytime, I pulled back. I stopped washing the 9,000 dishes that I would receive when I got there on Sunday nights because I don't work the weekends. But Sunday nights I come in and it's depressing. So I just said, I'm not washing these dishes. And I would do the laundry. I would stock the housekeeping floors, but I just wouldn't wash the dishes. So no one would wash the dishes, and they would just pile up, and then more would add up, and more laundry. They're not washing the laundry. It's just a mess. So now they're, she's not washing dishes. Oh, she's not taking out the trash. Oh, she's not cleaning the bathroom. Just all this foolishness. So now they started writing me up. I got a write-up last week on Wednesday for not washing the dishes. And then they just start making up a slew of lies. I never fold the laundry. I never stock the housekeeping floors. I mischarged every time I make a transaction. Everything I do is wrong, just wrong, 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 but I still work there. So they're going to get me, right, since I'm not going to do all this labor and no one else wants to do it. So my manager comes in to give me this write-up, and I'm already real stern with her because she sucks. So I said, what do you want me to do with this write-up? You just have to sign it because you didn't wash the dishes right, and you didn't. I'm like, man, you know, it's already a mess, man. What you want me to sign? So she's, well, I just want you to sign it. On this paper. So I read it, and it's the lead that was babysitting us while she was on maternity leave that wrote this up. So I was like, man, I'm not signing this. It's lazy. Who's she gonna write up? Write her up. So I left. So I left my phone, so I had to come back, and I'm like, man, open the door so I can get my phone. So she opened the door, I get my phone, and she was faxing the write up to the district manager to say I refused to sign it. So when I got here, I sent the district manager an email. So he responded the next day via phone call. And so he's listening and whatever. So I'm getting, you know, my plea. And I asked to transfer. I've been asking you for months just to transfer me. If you want me to work, but you just transfer me. So when I said, right there, you're not doing all the laundry. I'm like, I can't do all the laundry. That's impossible. Nobody can do. Well, no, you know, in India, we can do all kind of stuff. And I'm just like, well, look, I can't do all that stuff. And this is ridiculous. The manager sucks, everything. Well, you say that, but you guys call in all the time. I was like, I've never called in. I've never called in to work. I called in one time, 2 weeks ago. Well, not you. You're a big worker, but still, you need to work harder, work harder. I'm like, no, I don't have enough money to work harder, and I work too hard already. I don't know. I have to think about it, because if you can't handle it, the problem that everyone is not going to be perfect. I'm like, look, this is ridiculous. It doesn't have to go like this. So he just kind of agitated me. So that call ended. Friday morning, I go in. Send an email to the president of the hotel because this doesn't make any sense. So he sent email to his human resource president. So the human resource president called me Friday morning. So I just told him everything that I basically tell you guys, but in a crunch. And I just don't understand how this is your brand. I just can't understand how this is too sloppy. And just with the reviews collectively, this is too sloppy. I don't understand. This can't be what you come in your office for. So he was great. Black guy, because we have the little intranet, so you get to see everybody that works there. So he's right up under the president of the company. He was just telling me the president wanted me to know that he got my email, and he just sent it to him because he's where he's at. So I said, well, I was going to turn my weekly notice this morning. And he said, no, I'm not turning your weekly notice. Just don't. So I got it. So he had the human resource in my region, because I guess he's in North Carolina, so the human resource in my region get on whatever he wrote down and sent him. And he had the guy was out of town, so that I sent him enough pictures of what I was saying, because the next day it was the same. That was Monday, because Sunday was the same. And then Monday it was the same. No one did anything, so I took pictures of it and I sent it to him. And he said, did the guy call you back? And I said, no. And then the next morning, this guy called me back. So I told him what I wanted. I mean, I need full-time, I need a raise, I need benefits, and I need back pay for working full-time, part-time. So, and I need you to do something with this manager. I don't understand what's going on. So he said, well, let me give it a chance to hear his side, because I have to deal with this, because something has to happen because you called the president. He said, so I guess you reached the right person. So this morning, my manager got into yesterday my manager got into a scuffle with one of the guest representatives, the younger ones, and it really was turned into this big deal. She called the police on her, said she threatened her life. And she ended up firing her. So the next day, this morning, she relieved me. So the district manager had called in between that and asked me when she comes in. And I said, I don't know, maybe around 7:30 to relieve me. He's like, I didn't get a chance to, you know, talk to you, but I'll talk to you, because he got a phone call from Human Resource. So I got a text, I guess an hour ago, but it came in this afternoon, that the manager quit. She just left. So the district manager had called me, so I called him back. He was just like, well, I didn't get a chance to talk to you. I didn't get a chance to talk to Sarah, but, you know, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to come in tonight. Were you working tonight? I said, yeah, I work Monday through Friday. Okay, I'm going to come talk to you, and tonight when I leave Amityville, I'm going to come talk to you.
30 seconds.
I was like, okay, cool. And that's it.
Did the was there a resolution, or is this still pending in terms of how things are going to go?
No, that's it.
Oh.
Because I just called him before I called in.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. This is all just happening.
I see. Okay. Hot off the presses. I guess where you just said that one of the employees got into a brawl of some sort. I mean, if this is the same facility, you know, because you've participated in workplace racism for a while, as have your son as well, where it just seems like it's just chaos. It's always chaos and violence, even, because you've talked about tenants before, or people that are there that have been violent, threatening with you, and some of them under the influence and threatening and what have you. It just seems like such a dysfunctional and violent, unsafe even, environment that I would just be, you know, really working on let's get out of here. Because, I mean, even if they did come with everything, the list that you had of, you know, back pay and benefits and full-time employment and the man, or I guess if the managers quit or whatever it is, maybe that's one. But I mean, even if they did correct all of that, it's still such a toxic environment. I just wouldn't trust that everything that you have dealt with for the last year would be remedied, and like permanently, like this would permanently be switched into a great working environment where you could, you know, stay here and work well and be compensated, you know, for working hard. But yeah, I guess we'll see how things have been since you kind of left us where things are right now. Maybe we'll get an update. But yeah, I would hope you're looking elsewhere. That would be my hope, that you can find something that's much more worthy of your talents. Do we have other folks that we've not heard from, people that we've not heard from at all, who are going to comment?
Can I comment on her situation real quick?
For sure.
Or offer up? Maybe you do this, maybe you don't. But I think that if you haven't in the past, in the future, maybe taking pictures of the environment when you're coming in. So if you come in on your shift, the wonderful thing about, like, you know, cell phones and technology is you take a picture, it has a timestamp. So, I mean, if your shift starts at 11 and you come in at 10:50 or 10:59 and you take a picture of a mountain of dishes, I think that just will help you in the future. If maybe you're already doing it, maybe not. I mean, any of the other things that are supposed to be done, any type of shift work always has, well, for the most part, at least I think that they have duties and responsibilities that are itemized and outlined. You know, 3 to 11 is supposed to do these things. 11 to 7 is supposed to do these things. 7 to 3 is supposed to do these things. And if those things are not done, taking a picture of them will help to support your case in the future. I agree with Gus. Like, if it's causing so much and it's violent, like, I'm leave it. But in the meantime, like, if, you know, whatever, you don't, if you have a difficulty getting a job in the future, it would be, it's conducive and constructive to have a trail to say, it's really not me. It's not like I'm this bad employee or whatever. This is what I was dealing with. You can present your case with the president. I also think, like, your situation and a lot of other people's situation, I'm sure this thing exists. I've seen it in movies. I want one. I want a pen that you can put to your shirt that is not just a camera, but a voice recorder too, that can record for like 13 hours or something like that. And you can charge the battery and just start it on your shift. If nothing major happens, then you can delete it. But if something does, then you can save it. If there's something like that, I think that would be a great investment for us. But thank you.
Oh, you know they got that. They probably got Staples that can do all that right now, or a paperclip that does all that, that can record for a year and live stream and voice record all that, man. The technology is amazing. I'm looking at one right now. I'm trying to make sure I get a price so that I don't suggest anything that costs like $1,000. But this one is a voice recorder, and it's a camera, and it is a pen. It looks like a regular pen. I think it writes like a regular pen. I have to see how much. Oh, and they have keychains. Apparently, they do the same thing. They have pen. Oh, okay, so it's $100. This is not exactly break the bank. That is a bit on the spendy side for, you know, a device, but I'm sure they have cheaper. This is just the first one that I saw, but this one, it works and it records in 1080. So that's like HD. I don't know what the voice recording is, but $100 will get you this one. It is the Pen Recorder Pro. And I'm sure they have others that will do, and probably some that are even cheaper than this. So really, really obtainable item. This is, in fact, spy pen cameras. They have others that will even record in 2K. So, I mean, you can get really, really high definition spy footage from some of the artillery that's out there. Oh, and they have some that are even under $70. I'm looking on their website right now. They have some that, like I said, phone recorders, USB recorders, keychains. You can get some that are very affordable, apparently, which I thought. Some of the whites on your job probably got some of these right now. Did we have other people that dialed in with a hand up that we've not heard from?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I'm still getting adjusted to the etiquette in the conference. I work at a convenience store in North Carolina, and I'm just looking for a way to detoxify. A lot of the customers, 100% of the population, I would say globally, but especially here, since what I'm experiencing,
I have not met one white person that is at least courteous. I've had a lot of incidents. The worst being I've had one elderly white woman try to use my skin as a talisman for a lottery ticket to give her good fortune. Let me have some of that black luck in a ticket to shake my hand. And it's just a whole bunch of incidents like this that really hunker me down when I leave work. And I keep the stress, and I was wondering if anybody had any suggestions of how to, like, detoxify, and I'll mute my line.
Man, sorry you're having to deal with that. The great state of North Carolina, Mr. Reed doing would be proud. My suggestion, while it's warm right now, I would take advantage. Do you live close to the water? I don't know where you are, what part of the state you're in. Are you close to the coast or close to any water?
I live in the Piedmont area, the most northern part of North Carolina, basically on the borderline of Virginia.
Okay, the great state of Virginia. Well, if you can't get to the water, I would at least try to get outside. You should be able to do that. I would try and go out. If you can do some hiking, take advantage of getting outside, just get some fresh air. I think that's always good, getting some energy, because a lot of times when you get that stress, racists would just say go be sedentary and watch TV. I think it's always great if you can do something where you can burn some calories and release some of that stress in an active manner. I think it's great. I think that's productive for your body. Other things that you can do. I'm a big fan of restorative things. If there is a spa, that's something I did last month to detox from Crystal Tyler. If you have a spa, you can find one of those locally where you don't have to spend an arm and a leg. You can go again, restorative. That's going to repair something that'll be healthy for your body. Other folks have tips, things that you can do to replenish, restore when you have to deal with all this racist toxins that you have to deal with on the job, things you do to replenish, restore.
Hi, guys.
Stacy in the UK.
Yeah, I agree. Getting outside is really important, but you can also go online. There are all kinds of YouTube clips that focus on mindfulness and maybe some grounding. Grounding, as in the ground, GROUNDING, if that's how you spell it in America. But yeah, that's just a way of, I guess, yeah, it is de-stressing, but it's also bringing you back to the present moment, which I think is something you mentioned earlier on. So taking your mind off what might have happened earlier on that day in the store, or, you know, is likely to happen in the future, because sometimes we build up an anticipation of the crap that we're going to deal with, and that becomes stressful in itself. So, yeah, I would say definitely getting outside, but also trying to look online for things like mindfulness techniques, which are helpful, and also progressive muscle relaxation as well, particularly if you're going. You can do that at night just before you go to bed, and that'll help you get a proper night's sleep as well. I'll mute my line just in case anybody's got other tips.
Great. Other tips for replenishing, things to do to detoxify after you've had a full day of plantation racism?
Wow, maybe. I would say.
Go ahead, Mr. Retired firefighter.
I would say what would probably help the retoxification would be, from the outset, lower your expectations for white people. Expect them to treat you in a terrible way and or incorrect way. And I'm not saying to tolerate anything physical. Anything like that, but expect for them to do those things, and then that would maybe, from a psychological standpoint, get you more in a psychological position to where as you are prepared to come back and do what you have to do in order to take care of yourself and other people. If you, you know, if what you have is a family, that has been my means. The other things that I heard sounds pretty good also.
I'm a big advocate of try to make your residence really replenishing place for you. I think we had other callers talked about that previously, and just making it comfortable. That doesn't mean you have to go out and buy every expensive item that you possibly can to stuff in your residence. You can do it, you know, without spending a whole lot of money, but just making sure that it's a place that you can, at least that you have one spot that you can go and comfortably relax, where you can turn off your cell phone, maybe even no TV. I know for some people watching TV and all that, but I mean, if you can do something that does not involve watching television, great. If you can, for some people, they make the bathroom like just a really pleasant thing, so they can go and just take a really great shower and kind of cleanse spiritually, physically, all at the same time, and you know, have certain aromas, right, that are in the house that can kind of calm you down, lavender or whatever it is, those type of things. But just really try to make your home environment, obviously no whites ever allowed, so just making it really, really comfortable and calm and pleasing when you get home from work. I would say the days that you work, I know I don't have as much patience because I've been terrorized all day. So I'm not going to, if there are non-white people that are more difficult for me to deal with, like they engage in name calling or whatever it is, I will probably not see them. I have to wait and catch them on a day when I don't work. I'll have more patience, more black self-respect, just things like that, so that you can immediately go into detoxify mode. Once you leave the job, you get home, boom, I'm going right into cleansing. That's why I have on my Amazon wish list a massager. Exactly why? So that you could just go home. I will do my shower or whatever it is. I'll go spend some time on my massager. I'll do some yoga or meditate for a moment and relax. We have other tips on detoxifying? At least there's a list to get started. I think drinking water too, because I think a lot of people do alcohol, and I think a lot of us are dehydrated anyway, and water is great for so many things. Drinking water, you can make that a part, because that's easy and cheap. That's why I said you don't have to spend a whole lot of money. As soon as you get in, have some water. You can have fresh, clear water that can start your process right there of cleansing your body, cleansing your mind. You have a nice glass of water when you get in, you go do your shower, water again, do your cleansing, and relax. I think that can be a big part of it right there. Have some really comfortable slippers, just real world practical things that you can have that make a big difference when you get home to help you relax and clear out from all of that. I assume we did not have other tips on relaxing. Did we miss anybody? Anybody have commentary that they want to share, folks, we have missed completely?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I had a few incidents or just some stories to share. The first was actually this happened today. There was this, my coworker, apparently she received her, I guess, her promotion today. But everybody in the area was told to gather around by one of the powerful white people. And, you know, I didn't know what was going on. So I guess we just posed to take a picture, I guess, to celebrate this person's promotion. And what I noticed is that the black female says she don't take any pictures. You know, so she just stood to the side like she's the supervisor of our area. So, you know, the rest of us just took a picture. So what I noticed was the reason why I'm sharing this particular incident is the language that was used, and the newest white person that was in an apartment, she said verbatim, she is such a good leader, I guess, to compliment her on her new promotion. And the person that this was said to, she said, oh no, Link is our leader, like, you know, the black female. And that's what I found fascinating. She said that, you know, the younger, you know, white employee was a great leader. So she, I guess, somewhat rejected that, you know, but just in something very small like that, you know, just looking at the nuances and whatnot. Yeah, I found that very interesting. The next one was there, like over in the other area, like this is not my department. Apparently, this new person, like I guess is another high-ranking white woman. She apparently has been, I guess, wearing the same outfits or something like that. One of the black females told me. And she's been doing that deliberately to see if someone is going to be gossiping about her, apparently. So now, you know, let me repeat that. You know, she's wearing the same outfits to work, I guess, like every week on a weekly basis, I guess, to see if some gossip is generated by the other women or females there. So I'm thinking, it can be just general gossip. She has to be targeting or specifically waiting for a particular person's gossip. And I think that person is a non-white person. But, you know, I can't prove it. That's just the conclusion I came to. That was another thing that was very interesting. And we've also been having some more people come in that couldn't get a job. You know, they're saying, like, they've been trying for months and months or whatever, and mainly it's been black males. You know, so, you know, they've been saying that they can't get any work. And it's been things like, I guess, cannabis or what they call marijuana possession. So he said that he talked to somebody and the person was saying, hey, this is what's holding you back. So, you know, we just do what we can, print out their case history. And it's free of charge. And I guess that's just up to the white employers to I guess, hire them or reject them or whatever. And the last incident that this actually happened today. And there was a black female that was in a car accident. Okay. And usually, you know, on a job, I'm somewhat, you know, excited. I try to, I guess, be motivational, especially to non-whites. Like, I hadn't seen her in a while, so, you know, I got real excited. I said, hey, how are you doing over there, you know? And, you know, I didn't even really care who heard me, you know, if she was smiling well, because, you know, I was really glad to see her, you know? So I went over and I had spoke to her, and it was a real good experience. And I know the term black self-respect is used, and, you know, I didn't really care what anybody thought, so I just wanted to welcome the black female back, because she's helped me out a lot. And that's pretty much all I have for now. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Right on for black self-respect. I had a just wanted to, I guess, make sure I heard you correctly, and then a quick question. So I wanted to make sure that I heard correctly that cannabis possession and or use was stopping a lot of black males from getting employment. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, so that, like, this guy came in about 2 weeks ago, and that was the first one that I had that I've seen in a while. But I have noticed the trend of that, you know, that charge being linked to black males, or, you know, sometimes black females. Black people in general having that on their record, and really, like, a lot of times nothing else coming up, and they would say that would be the thing that supposedly is preventing them from obtaining some type of employment. Yeah, and they were looking real depressed and down, pretty much. So that was what I had noticed.
My suspicion, that'll be a part of the ploy when they say legalize it in other places, like
Washington State where I am, I don't think that's going to correct that problem at all. It'll just be another excuse as to why you don't get the job or promotion or whatever it is. The other question, this white woman who was going around wearing the same outfit or whatever, wearing the same clothes, doing it deliberately to get gossip and rumors started, and you said that you concluded, or your hypothesis is that she's trying specifically to see if a non-white person begins this gossip about her wearing the same clothes. Why did you speculate that she's waiting on a non-white person to get in on this gossip?
Well, one of the reasons is that recently I shared this maybe a week or two ago, and there was this non-white person, she's also a non-black in terms of the classifications. She told me that she was taken off of her, I guess, title or whatever. She said she was dismissed from her department and forcefully moved to another area. And remember, like what I said about the black male and how I was always seeing him looking real stressed out, like he had to go and see this female and another white male in her office, I guess, about his employees, I guess, so-called lack of work ethic or whatnot. And I guess they were saying she wasn't at her desk and things like that. And I haven't really seen her press on the other white supervisors, pretty much. So I would, like, my suspicion would be she would be targeting or focusing on someone or maybe a group of people who aren't white. And another reason is that I guess the so-called assistant supervisors, they are overwhelmingly black or non-white. So that seems to be where I think her focus is going with this this thing of wearing the same outfits over and over, because the black female mentioned to me that another black female said, oh, do you want me to go tell, you know, the lady name or whatever. So I was just very not really shocked, but I never had heard of somebody doing that intentionally. And my mom said she's seen the same person to her building wearing the same clothing. I mean, the same jewelry and everything, pretty much. So I'm believing she has other clothing, but she, from my understanding and from what I've been told, she's doing this on purpose. And I just think that it's a racist intent behind it.
Wowee. Florida. All I can say with Mr. Fuller, when he says that whites are the most familiar mystery, insert that as exhibit, 1050. I don't know. I don't know, how this whomever concluded that this person was doing this deliberately to get gossip started. Like, I don't know if she confided that to someone or if they've seen this before. Like, I don't know how they came to that conclusion. But I mean, if that is the case, like, wow. I mean, that's in terms of both what Mr. Fuller said and just what I've said consistently in terms of white women being dangerous, white people in general, they are not stupid. Like, that is extremely conniving to sit around and say, I'm going to do this to see if I can somehow provoke. And if particularly if she's targeting other black employees, to see if I can provoke them into gossiping about me. And then once they do that, I will get to go and play the victim and say, oh, the Negros, they're talking bad about me and teasing me about my clothes. They're clean. I just wear the same outfit. I'm poor and beggar. I don't have any money and I can't afford a lot of bling bling and blah, 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 and potentially get somebody fired. I mean, if that's what's happening, if that is the case, man, that goes to what I've said before about no gossiping. I said that should just be a part of our youth. We should be known for that. I don't participate. I don't laugh. I don't want to hear if you have any gossip to share. I am here to be serious and get
work done. That would take care of that, period. They would, if that charge even came up, everybody in the room should be like, oh man, we know that is baloney. You know, Ted doesn't gossip about anything. Like, that is, meeting adjourned. That's the way that you want it to be, just because you have that sort of reputation about being serious and what you do, what your concerns are on the job. Wow, definitely give us the update and let us know, you know, we get a conclusion or how that evolves with this conniving white woman, if that's the case. Stacy, were you going to give us the update on your situation?
Hi, Gus.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't, I haven't got much of an update on some of the sort of bullying and stuff that's been going on, because I've deliberately taken the time to get my head space, well, my head in the right space. And plus, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I'd been moved to another team. But in doing so, HR did want me to progress the documentation for the grievance. But actually, you know, when you move to a new team, they've also got an incredible amount of work that they want you to take on. My new team has some really tight deadlines that they're working to. So that in itself is a good opportunity for me to build up experience working on other projects where people are not trying to block me and undermine me, but it means I've got to do a good job. So there's only so much my head can take at any one moment in time. So for the last couple of weeks, I've actually had to focus on those projects, and I've got my plans signed off this week, so that's working out well. So as of next week, I will have to, or probably this weekend, I will have to start focusing on the sort of grievance and the paperwork there. But it's been interesting because there are people who are asking questions about me in terms of, you know, just the organisations and how they gossip anyway, and how people are just really nosy. And I guess it's something for people to talk about out of the everyday stuff that they talk about and the nonsense. So I had somebody who is a, as far as I'm concerned, confirmed racist try and stop me as I came into the building. We do not talk, so, you know, it's not common for us to have lots of conversations. And I had my headphones on, actually, and she waited and interrupted me and asked me, oh, have you disappeared? And, you know, this was early in the morning and I wasn't in the mood to entertain her. So I said, well, clearly I haven't, because you're speaking to me. And then, you know, she says, oh, well, you know, have you got another job? And I said, no. And then I just decided to get in a lift and go downstairs as opposed to upstairs, which was where my new sort of desk is based, just to get away from her. But what I've realised is I need to develop a form of words now so that all of the inquiring minds stay out of my business. And there is an important element to that, because obviously if whites, racist whites, and even confused non-whites think that you are getting an opportunity that they haven't got, then it will cause other problems in the organisation. So, I mean, there's nothing they can do about it, because obviously the situation is what it is, and it's no one else's business but mine. But it's just made me realise that I do need to develop a form of words. There's quite a few things I wanted to run through, actually, but I will touch on something which happened today, and it's at the end of last week, and it is there's a black male who's in the new team that I'm in, and we're at the desk must have been in the morning on Friday, and I did actually have my headphones on. I was listening to Neely Fuller. And I was changing the YouTube clips. And so I actually wasn't listening into the conversation, but because I was in midway into changing YouTube clips, I overheard there was a white female she came across. Now, this is a black male who's married. He's clearly married. He has his wedding ring on. She came over, and on Friday, people tend to dress down, or, you know, they're not dressed in their sort of formal work clothes. But she came across, and they were sat opposite me, and she said to him, I didn't hear the beginning of the conversation, but then she said, you know, I get all dressed up for you, and, you know, you don't pay any attention to me. I decided not to obviously press Miss the Fuller's clip. I thought, I need to listen to this. So I kept the headphones in, but I just let this conversation go on, and I kept my eyes focused on my work. And, you know, she, you know, they were whispering from time to time. So there were certain bits I couldn't hear. But, you know, just trying to entice him. And at one point she even said to him, oh, let me just pull my knickers out of my behind. And I just thought, oh, my God, what the hell am I listening to here? And I heard my name being mentioned, but I kept my eyes down, like I couldn't hear a thing. And then she whispered to him. And then later on that afternoon, she came back and they left together. And God knows, you know, and she'd gone and dolled herself up again in between. It was just really gross. So that was a bit of trauma at the end of last week. I do have some anti-blackness that I do need to talk about. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I've been asked to look at developing a network for BME staff, black and minority ethnic staff in the organisation. And so I've been bringing together some black staff and non-white staff to talk about what that might look like. One person came up to me a couple of days ago to say that, oh, she's spoken to HR and we really need to get them involved. And I said, why? And, you know, she's just, oh, because we need to get them involved. And, you know, they're keen that all the staff networks are properly organised and, you know, that we've got voting rights in place, et cetera, et cetera. I said, Why are they approaching you on this? And she said, she heads up another network, a women's network. So, she, you know, that's why they approached her, which still didn't make any sense because the BME network doesn't exist. So there was no reason why they should have been approaching her about that one. And I said, well, we'll develop it. And if HR need to be involved, they'll be involved. But, you know, there's no reason why they should be stipulating how this one needs to operate. And essentially, it's just a way of them trying to control and undermine the whole process so that non-white staff in the organisation, particularly black staff, don't get above themselves and do anything that HR and or rather racist managers in the organisation can't control. And the underlying issue there is that they know which members of the non-white staff they can approach for this nonsense because they know full well that this individual isn't leading on this piece of work. But nonetheless, they're just trying to undermine. And, you know, they do have a list, because I've heard it mentioned, a list of non-white staff that they identify to get involved in projects. And, you know, I haven't seen the list, but I would imagine that this is a list of the most confused non-white staff in the building. Needless to say, I've just batted it off, but it is trying sometimes, you know, because on the one hand, you know, it's an opportunity to do and try and organise something to give black staff the opportunity that, you know, being denied to them in the organisation. But nonetheless, you know, you do get non-white staff who know better, you know, they really do know better, and especially this individual, but are still prepared to be used by white management. God knows what she's been offered, but I'm not entertaining it anyway. And I did have to kind of just let her know not that I'm not interested in entertaining that conversation any further. But I've got a few other points, but I'm conscious that other people might want to share updates, so I'll mute my line, Gus.
appreciate that. Wow. Number one, I think this is at least the second time we've had someone in a workplace setting, just from today's conversation. I'm not even talking about, you know, archives, just from today, second time that we've had someone talking about a workplace situation where they had headphones in, but nothing was playing so they could still hear what was happening around them. I think that is a great practice where you can just be there. You can, or even if you are listening, but the music is not up very loud. You can still hear, but you can also hear what's happening around you. I just think that's a great practice because it can be dangerous to be in a system of racism, white supremacy anywhere, grocery store, job, any place, and have headphones in where you have minimized, decreased your ability to hear what's happening around you. You never know. Someone might yell nigger and then they're swinging at you and you miss the auditory cue that, whoa, I need to duck. What's happening here? So definitely in the workplace, should never be a time where your music or whatever is up so loud if you have headphones on that you can't hear what's happening around you. Big fan, you should try it. Just have the earbuds in or what have you and have nothing on so they think you're rocking out. Oh, he's got all that, you know, Jay-Z rocking. Man, no, you're not listening to anything. You can hear exactly what's happening around you. You never know what might be said. And the situation, even though it wasn't June herself, and again, she's in London. This is the other side of the world, so you get to see the patterns. That situation where the race soldier, the female, went to sexually lure the black male, that type of situation, I would just get up and leave immediately. Anytime it even sounds like it, that would be in my workplace diary for the day. I would go like to the restroom wherever I needed to go immediately. I think Thomas had talked about that before. Like, it's not going to be any dialogue. It's not going to be any, you know, trying to, oh, I'm concerned. I don't want her to think that I'm brushing her. Yes, I'm brushing you off. This is done. It's nothing to talk about. And that's what it's going to be every time to make sure you never get the thought of coming over here and hanging out again. We have other folks who dialed in. I'm trying to make sure we don't miss folks. The caller 2229. Did you have commentary? 2229.
Yes. Greetings, Gus. This is the caller calling from
you. Your volume is very low. Could you speak up?
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
So it's still a little low. If you could speak up, I can hear you. Just if you could, a little bit more volume would be helpful.
How about now?
Good, that's better.
Any better?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, this is my second time calling in. I'm a caller calling from Houston, Texas. I called in a couple of weeks ago about workplace racism and how the white girl and I graduated at the same time and we got different promotions. And I just wanted to share a few observations that took place this week on the plantation. This took place with a black male victim of racism, an older gentleman. Nice. So what he did is he invited me to a prayer breakfast. And at first, you know, I don't do religion or anything like that. And so I was conflicted. Well, you know, should I go or should I not go? And part of it, because my code at work is not to share any type of information. I'm not trying to educate whites on how smart I am. And this non-white victim, he talks to a lot of white people. So in the end, I did decide to go. And I decided I was just going to listen and, you know, maybe see if I could add anything constructive or something to jot his mind to make him think. He also invited a suspected racist to this prayer breakfast. So going through all of this, the prayer breakfast, eventually what happened is he actually gave me a book. I think it's Charles Stanley. And it's like daily prayers or something like that. But I just decided, you know, this victim, he's very confused. I'm not going to reach him, so I didn't want to ask any challenging questions or anything like that. And so I just really, I guess, took the road to black self-respect to not make an issue out of it and just try to, you know, jog his mind, make him think about something when I had the chance. The second thing I wanted to share is bring your child to work day today. I didn't participate in that. I think that is a bad idea for victims of racism. Bring their children to the workspace. I would suspect probably potential racists would see you see your children as potential people that they could lock up in the future. Some some black people did participate in that. I didn't. I think the less that races know about you at work, the better. I think they already know a lot about you anyway. So that's just part of my code as well. And I guess the other thing that I would share is that, and this was today, a suspected racist said that her neighborhood was turning ghetto. You know, so she evidently just bought a house in a neighborhood, and so she used that word. So I didn't have any response to that. She said it in the presence of another suspected racist white female, and that's really all I wanted to share for this time, for this go around. I appreciate y'all listening.
Thank you for sharing. Pending on my mood, and if I felt I could pull it off with the total just innocence, you know, just trying to understand if she had said that in my presence, that her neighborhood was turning ghetto. Oh, man, Sue, what do you mean? Like, not offended, not upset, just, oh, what's going on? What's happening? Like, and just have her break it down.
That's an excellent suggestion. Just curiosity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just put it up, because some days I am less interested in chatting voluntarily. So some days I would do the same thing, just and keep it moving. Nothing need be said. But if I was interested, I might throw it out as a question potentially. I guess just yeah. What was the first situation before you got to that? It was one of the comments I was going to make.
It was bring your child to work.
Yeah. Did you get any flack? Did you get any flack for not participating? Anyone fuss at you?
No. Well, what I normally do is I never say that I'm not gonna participate. Like if it's a potluck or something, I'm like, oh wow, you know, where's everybody bringing? But I just don't go. So I never put it out there that I'm not going. If they say Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas, but I just try not to give up any information like that. But no, because I normally just play it back to work. You know, oh, I got a major call at that time, and was it good, or you know, they had something else to do. So I just made an excuse. I didn't give a reason as to why I didn't bring them. I just said, oh, they were doing something else.
Awesome. I think that's a great bit of code right there in terms of never saying that you're not participating. I know some people are. I think Mr. Edward Williams, counter-racism.com, is just about being flagrant. Make it specific. No, I'm not going. And I think some of our other people like that as well. I also can see the value of that, where you've never flagrantly turned anyone down, but you just don't participate. Like, that's outstanding. And I definitely think that's great. I've said that before too, about the not having photos up. In my opinion, the less information race soldiers have about your family and you specifically, the less information, the better. They do not need to meet on and, you know, have an opportunity to fondle your children on the job. That's, you know, ridiculous on all accounts, but great codification. Do we have other folks who, anybody that we missed, anybody dialed in more recently that we did not get to hear from at all? Can we get everybody? Grand. Other folks have commentary, any other input they wanted to make sure they got in based on what folks have shared throughout the broadcast, you can feel free as well.
Hey guys, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Oh, just one quick thing, like that incident that I was sharing. I just remember that the black female told me, it's reported that she made it known, I don't know if this was to a white person or to a non-white person, that she wanted someone to come tell her if someone was doing any gossiping about her wearing the same attire. So that's like, you know, a part of the context of it. So that's the part that I had left out. Like, she, I guess, ordered someone. I don't know who this person is, but she ordered, I guess, one of the people, a select amount of people, to come tell her if there's gossip being made about her clothing. So I guess she could, I guess, wield her power over them. So, yeah, that's the part I left out.
Wow. See, now that does make it easier, that portion, in terms of, oh, okay, this is why I would conclude that she's doing this, trying to get someone in trouble for, you know, talking bad about her wearing the same clothes every day. Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. I mean, that is Machiavellian, in my opinion. Like, that's the, and you've incorporated other people into the scheme. Like, I can't even, I'm having a difficult time even wrapping my mind. When we say, when Mr. Fuller and other people I know have used that phrase, racist man, racist woman, racist child, they burn midnight oil thinking about how they're going to abuse black people. What else can you say? I mean, it is kind of funny to me, but I mean, that is serious, because you could get fired. Imagine that you come in and, oh, look at Helen. She's been wearing the same thing. Ha ha ha. And you go about your day. And the next thing you know, you get called in. We got a report that you were talking bad about one of our employees here. We just can't tolerate that. I mean, again, be known for being serious on the job. I don't talk about anything but work related material. I have nothing to say about anybody, what they have on, what they did this weekend, what their hair looks like, who they're dating, their children, nothing. We are about work, and that's that. Get that reputation from, I wouldn't even say day one, get that reputation from the time you go in, from the interview to the last day that you work there, whenever that day is. Thank you for that other piece of information, because that was important. Other folks that dialed in, if you had comment, I think we got everybody that dialed in with a hand up. Did other folks have commentary they wanted to share, suggestions?
Hi, Gus.
Stacy in the UK, still hanging with us. 3:16 a.m. Friday morning.
That's precise. just on the spy-in, I recall, the team that I've just left, there was one male in that team who used to make it his business to pry into my personal, you know, my personal life. Obviously a racist suspect. And he would take all manner of methods to, you know, try and find out information, from looking at what's on my desk to just making up stories. So once he, and I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't even realize that I was being so-called secretive. I just never used to discuss my business anyway, particularly with people who I don't know. And I guess it was a code that I didn't even really think about. It's just not what I did. And I remember him, after a while, sort of making comments or letting me know that if I ever revealed anything, which for me would have been insignificant, he'd make comments like, oh, that's the second thing I found out about you in the X number of years that we've been working. And, you know, sort of getting to number five on his list of things that he knows about my personal life. And so I used to sort of manage it by saying, oh, well, I'm going to make you my official biographer, or, you know, you should go and get a job for MI5, because I realized after a point that clearly he was spying on me. And once he made up this elaborate story about, so he was doing a master's at university, and he made up this elaborate story about a young woman in the class who he'd taken a shine to, but apparently she wasn't interested in him. And, it, you know, he's a lot older than her. So it was, you know, on the surface, a really intimate story that he was telling me. And I could tell he was, as far as I know, it wasn't true. But even if there was some truth to it, I'm sure it was being exaggerated as a way of gaining my confidence and, you know, encouraging me to then confide my personal life to him. So, you know, I just used to let him speak and then say, oh, well, good luck with how that goes.
But, you know, it's just they employ a number of different tactics to find out about your personal life. And I remember there was another white female who's now left the organisation. She was in the team. And just, it was probably a couple of days before she left. The racist suspect male, he and I used to joke around from time to time. And when I say joke, literally, he would, if he sent me an email, you know, he may say something, which was actually quite funny. And so I might laugh, you know, and, you know, because it wasn't all hostile, but nothing to say I was being very, very uncodified. But the times when he used to just get on my nerves and just be prying way too much, so I just used to shut him down by just not responding. And so one day this female had asked me a question, and she showed me an email which she received from him. And on that email, he'd said he'd emailed me, because he was working from home that day, he'd emailed me a joke, and I hadn't responded yet. And I mean, there was no reason for him to be sharing this information with her. And it was just, it was nothing. I mean, why would you need to share that he'd sent me a joke? And then it just made me realize just how much information is being shared about you, even information which is on all by all accounts, irrelevant. But they're sending emails about you while you're in the office. So I'm just sharing that because hopefully it's just useful for people, because you're always being watched. I'll mute my line, guys.
Context of white supremacy, absolutely. So I said, in the workplace, you should just assume. I think someone mentioned that last week. Racist, they have all the cameras and man, you're talking about spy pens. As I said, some of your white coworkers probably have some of the best spy gadgetry you can get. They might be the best people to talk to about, you know, those types of purchases. But I think it's just best counter-racist logic to assume. Work environment, if you're talking to anybody, another coworker, white or non-white, if you're talking to them, email, face-to-face, phone conversation, just assume everybody who works at the company is hearing what I'm saying right now, is going to read what I'm writing right now, to just proceed that's what it is, and that will keep you safe. That will make sure that you are automatically filtering what you say, or you just get accustomed to. That'll be your routine. That'll be my code. Every time I open my mouth, every time I get, you know, on a device to send out a message, a communication of any sort, I'm going to speak as though every single person that I work with, who has ever worked for this company, who will ever work for this company, is going to read or see what I have to say. When you start to think that way, I think you can keep yourself out of trouble sometimes. Other folks, do we have other folks who had commentary, suggestions, or other comments they wanted to share based on what we've heard today, or your own situation you wanted to share? We have last few minutes winding down the program.
I was at football practice this afternoon, and it was a brief discussion on Colin Kaepernick, and I thought was interesting, but I thought about it personally, and my thoughts at the time was, although he is doing something that one can say is very courageous, as far as a more long-term time in the National Football League, I don't think that's going to take place. He may get employed on a team this year because of the needs at his position, but I don't think it's going to be a comfortable aspect ever in his furthering his career, no matter how long it lasts. And the good thing about it, surprisingly, is that I think he's aware of that. I don't think he's not surprised about that anything. From everything I've heard of him saying and commenting and doing, it gives me the idea that that young person is very much aware of the risk that he took and is willing to basically carry out what he set out to do. I could be wrong, but I just don't think that he would rescind somewhat on any offer to not continue to do what he's doing, unless I've been mistaken. Just my, some thoughts on it. Although I just heard that Miami lost their quarterback, so they're going to be in dire needs. And it's therefore, as far as employment is concerned, it's possible that they may even ask for him. Sometimes, in that particular profession, they would basically settle for something that they wouldn't necessarily prefer, just for the idea of having someone in that spot. But I don't think he's going to have any level of comfort. Although I would say most of us don't anyway on any job, but his situation is certainly going to be a lot more traumatic than a lot of people. Just some thoughts.
Yeah, I would agree. I definitely, any of the non-white people, particularly black people who exit football early, I can't say that I'm too upset. Save your brain cells, save your body. If he reaches 50 and can still walk without a cane and a walker, outstanding. They will have saved him a little bit of vitality for his, later years in life. And certainly not the sport that is kindest on your body or physiology. Again, last few moments as we are ticking down context of white supremacy. If you have a few things you want to share, workplace racism, if you have your own commentary, or if you have thoughts, suggestions based on what has been shared thus far, the number again, 641-715-3640, the code 56493#. Press *6 if you would like to participate. Caller at 7720. If you had commentary you wanted to share, your line should be open.
Good evening, Gus. The callers, the listeners, this is The Voice. I just wanted to, comment following up on the firefighter about Colin Kaepernick. What I noticed is that as soon as Tannehill went down, they had reports that he tore his leg for the whole season. And then shortly after, all the talks about Colin most likely coming to the Dolphins, it seems like they changed the reports and said that he'll be wearing a knee brace. And one thing I noticed is that even with Flacco stating about how he didn't want Colin Kaepernick coming up to Baltimore, even in the workforce ourselves, I've seen it before in my past job, is whenever they have a moment where a black person can fill in for a white person's position, whether they're out sick or just on vacation or whatever the case may be, they try to do things to sabotage that black person or make it seem like that black person isn't capable of doing the exact job. But sometimes when we get that position, we 9 times out of 10, we overshine past what they do and make them look like they really not doing what they're supposed to do. And I think I've noticed that whites always push back anytime that blacks are in a position to fill their job, even if it's temporarily, because they're afraid that we'll take over on a permanent level. And that's all I wanted to say.
You're on my line. Thanks.
Context.
Yeah, in historical reference. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, retired firefighter, although it's probably our last.
I was just going to say, in historical reference, John Carlos and Tommy Smith went through about, and they were quote unquote just amateur athletes. And it was just that one instance with the Olympic Games in 68, but they went about, about 30 or 40 years. Something maybe you know, something like 30 years before they had some sort of stable like employment, you know, because that particular tag, that's what white people do, very vindictive when you take stands against them. And I also include that I suspect strongly, I can't say for sure, that the greatest Muhammad Ali was forced to fight just to regain the title with George Foreman, and even after that, and it took its toll on his ability to function like he was used to as a younger person due to the Alzheimer's, I think that it played a factor in it, I suspect strongly. It's just one of those things. I mean, I applaud the young fellow, but that is something that he unfortunately possibly will have to look forward to.
Probably end our Colin Kaepernick commentary there for the day, and certainly resume this weekend for the compensatory call-in. Do folks have any other workplace racism commentary, your own experience, or any suggestions, anything stood out with what folks have shared today? Folks are waiting. The image that was with the Facebook event for workplace racism in St. Louis, a white police officer settled a discrimination suit with the police department in St. Louis, of all places, where he said, and this is in the article, he had a federal lawsuit where he filed against St. Louis, where he claimed that police officials promoted a less qualified black officer to lieutenant colonel. And he got a settlement out of court before it actually went to court. And I've seen quite a few other cases. In fact, I think Donald Trump just yesterday, it was on the front page of the New York Times, where they said they were investigating, I think they called it bias, anti-white bias in college admissions, as though somehow white students are being denied opportunities to go to school. And this white officer was passed over for a promotion. You will probably be more of these types of suits over the next, I don't know, a few years or so. I don't see any evidence that it's going to slow down. In addition, I've even seen some of these suits where white people have said, well, I think the non-white people on my job are being racist against me. They're, you know, saying things that they don't like white people, and it's caused me stress. Same principle. I would really make sure that you have a reputation. I don't say anything about anybody on the job. I don't do any gossip. I don't talk bad about anybody. I am professional, sir, ma'am, calling people Mr. Johnson, Mrs. Jones, whatever, you know, their name happens to be. I don't call people nicknames. Just get a reputation for that, because I easily could see things being all kinds of hectic and chaotic on the job with all types of accusations and the technology and everything, just it being even more stressful moving forward. So that's one way you can minimize. I totally eliminate all of the foolishness I can control. I don't do any of that name calling, gossiping, none of that. That's one easy way that you can remove yourself from a lot of problems. Any final comments before we wrap things up for the week? Anything else folks want to make sure they get in?
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Absolutely.
About does anybody know any updates on Puff Daddy? P. Diddy was getting sued by the five white workers. Remember that case? Did anybody get an update on that?
I definitely do not keep up with the life and times of Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Oh, I'm sorry, no, because I know that he has five white workers that worked for him, and they filed a lawsuit, but I didn't hear anything after that about it for workplace racism, so I didn't know. I thought you guys had an update.
No apology necessary. I just didn't know about the lawsuit, I guess, for what I don't know anything about it. I can't even comment or lean in. I have no idea. As I said, I'm very ignorant about the life and times of P. Diddy.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Gus? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Advice, just on the points you were making about... sorry, I didn't have my line muted, so I hope I wasn't making too much noise in the background. I didn't realize. Just on not, well, having a reputation for not gossiping, I guess, or just being codified. I mentioned earlier on that there's this BME network that we are looking at, and that there is a non-white female who, I believe HR have been trying to get her to, I'm not quite sure if it's quite undermine the process, but certainly control it. And I did have a conversation with her the day before yesterday and asked her not to, basically said, hey, HR do not need to be directly involved in this. And to be honest, I wasn't feeling too well, so I wasn't really, it wasn't a conversation where I was particularly entertaining the foolishness. So I was just straight to the point with her. And I was surprised because yet today when I checked my email, she had sent me a link to an article about the role of white women in tackling gender discrimination, but it was specifically entitled, can't quite remember the exact wording, but white women need to do more to fight the gender pay gap for black women or something like that. Now, I have never had that conversation with her about white women specifically and what they do or do not do to support the needs of black women in the workplace. Have we had conversations about racism before? Yes, but not specifically a conversation about it or being about white women. And what really annoyed me is, I mean, she has started to spam my inbox with all kinds of stuff, and that in itself is slightly irritating me. But apart from the fact that the conversation that I had with her, I was surprised that she would therefore even fill up my inbox with anything else. But to send that kind of email to me, it just goes back to the point you were making earlier on about assume that people are spying on you, and that even electronic correspondence will be tracked. So it's not the first time necessarily that she's had conversations in an open plan office where I've tried to mouth to her that she needs to be quiet. But I don't know if the penny quite dropped that day, but I didn't think it was anything malicious. I just think she was just being uncodified. So I guess my question is how to address that without necessarily A, being uncodified, because I do think she certainly is ever so slightly compromised by, you know, HR feeling that they can use her in that way, but also just the general stupidity of sending that kind of correspondence to me. And it's slightly annoying because I've now received an email, so there would be a suggestion or an implication that, you know, I've had that conversation with her anyway. And regardless of whether I, you know, think that there's some validity to the article, I just don't think it's the wisest thing to send that kind of correspondence and be spamming my inbox with it. So I'd welcome some comments, really, on how to address that situation. I'll mute my line.
just to make sure I'm understanding it correctly, is it how to bring it up with her so that she doesn't send that type of content electronically to you anymore? Is that what you want to address, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But without sort of, I need to manage her because, I mean, most people probably won't want to be told off, in inverted commas. But also, I'm not even sure she's the wisest, or rather that she's certainly very uncodified. And my observation is she's way too close to certain individuals on HR. And when we were in HR, and when we were having a conversation yesterday, she was specifically naming a white female who is responsible for some of the sort of staff networks and other sort of, staff engagement activities. So she's just very vested in this woman's job and her wanting to be seen to be delivering or doing her job well. And that is really of no concern of mine whatsoever. But at the same time, I didn't actually make a comment on this white woman. So the fact that I've then been sent an email to talk about white women's role in tackling inequalities that black women face, to me, is interesting in itself. But yeah, my question is specifically around how to address that issue with the black female about sending that kind of correspondence and just generally being uncodified.
I see. At least my experience, I probably wouldn't address her being uncodified per se. Or certainly not, that could be a down the road thing, if at all. But I generally, that can end up taking up a lot of time. The email thing, I think I would probably just address it as I don't use my email, whatever email she sent it to. I don't use that email for any sort of, you know, personal links or anything like that. I just use that for workplace to help me keep things organized. So in the future, don't send me any links or what have you to that account. If you want to give her a different account to use, a non-personal account that she can, you know, if she has a need to send you something, so it's not going to your work account. But I would just assume regardless that this person, even based on her sending a report like that, that's ostensibly showing, you know, hey, white women do have a role in helping us solve this problem, that to me shows, oh, okay, this person is a victim of white supremacy and might be someone who thinks that there's some good white people, or you think that there's some white people that are not racist. So I need to be very, very careful in what I say to you, how I talk to you, and just assuming, again, you're going to share that information to other to anybody, other white people, other non-white people. I would just have that assumed when I speak with you. But I would just tell her, yeah, please don't send anything like that to my work address. Just for organizational purposes, I don't send any links or anything that's not affiliated with my job to that email account. That way hopefully that will minimize it striking her as like a red flag issue because it was that content specifically that it's just, oh, this is how she organizes her emails, and keep it going from there, if that makes sense. Did other folks have suggestions on how to deal with this? A black female employee sending this email to Stacey, and Stacey thinks she might be, racists might be using this non-white person to, you know, spy on and report back to about what Stacey's been up to. Any other suggestions on how you would at least get the emails stopped? Thought on how to get the email stopped, or maybe folks don't have a suggestion on that one?
Gus?
Yes, ma'am.
That's interesting that you said the way you interpreted the article actually had purpose for sending the article, because I didn't even receive it that way.
Oh, how did you interpret it?
I mean, I think you're correct in terms of she's probably saying, oh, there are some good white people out there. But I thought she was trying to engage me in a conspiracy just about the, I mean, I haven't read the article, so that probably would help. But that white women aren't very supportive to black women, and that's why, and maybe the suggestion that that's what I think, and that's why I'm, and maybe the article was talking about the fact that white people are not
all white women are not sensitive to the needs of black women. I hadn't actually read the article. So it's interesting the way that you actually interpreted that, you know, her purpose for sending it, which is, you know, there are some good white people out there. And that probably is the way and why she's sending it. And the only thing is, I haven't said that there aren't good white people out there to her either. You know, I just haven't had that conversation with her, which is partly why it's irritating me, because she's almost drawn me into something, some conspiracy, some conversation, interpreting my views, when I haven't had that conversation with her. And to even send me that kind of correspondence, you know, I just don't trust the organisation. I'm sure, particularly given what's happening with me at the moment, I'm sure my inbox is being monitored. But yeah, sorry, I'll mute my line.
It just, it struck me in that way, given what you said before, the context of, you know, the exchange you shared with us. And then, even to me, that type of report just sounds like there's room for improvement, that white women, or at least some of them, might change their conduct at some point and then, you know, step up to the plate and, you know, help out black females that are struggling on the job and not getting correct compensation, that sort of thing, where they're doing what anyway, yeah, that was just my interpretation of it. Maybe that was not the case, but at any rate, I think it's wise to just assume that this person might share, this person or anybody else might share what you have to say with others, and that you need to be very alert, very mindful about what you say and talking to this person. And the same thing, I would not say anything to this person that I would not want repeated to every single person who works in that organization. That would be the way that I talk to her every time. And we definitely couldn't have any in-depth conversation about racism at all, because I would just assume that, you know, that would be a public dialogue as well. So certainly nothing about racism. Couldn't even discuss that article. In fact, haven't had an opportunity to read it. What did you think about it? Why did you think I should check that out? Ask questions. I would just stay in the question lane a lot with her. Did we have any suggestions? Just making sure I didn't miss out. Any suggestions for Stacey's situation here, stopping the emails and a victim of racism who might be a little slightly more confused? Assume they don't have a suggestion for the moment. If you hear the archive and you want to write in a suggestion, I can pass it along to Stacey via email, or we can just read it on the program next week. But if you listen and want to write one in terms of stopping those emails, I think that's just neat and tidy to just say, hey, I don't do anything that's not related to my job. If you cannot send it to that account, just people clutter and send spam and forwards and all kinds of nonsense. I just had to put a rule on it because it's gotten out of control. So you can send it to a different account. That would be great. My thought, if other folks have a suggestion, feel free to write it in. We'll be here tomorrow. France Fanon, Wretched of the Earth. Basically, this will be number one. We were here last week. We did the preface, which took up all of the study session last week. So this is the first time we will get the actual words of France Fanon tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. for folks in the UK, if you want to tune in. Saturday, compensatory call in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll catch up on what's gone down over the last 7 days. More technology with CRISPR. Man, wish Dr. Welsing was here to shed a view on the white medical breakthroughs of the summer of 2017, but we'll be here this weekend. And Joseph Gibson will be with us this coming Tuesday. He has a new book that just came out. He is an author and an educator. He has a new book out on teaching black children. He'll be with us Tuesday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. If you have a problem finding something in the archives, if you have a guest suggestion, if you have a suggestion you want to write in, or just commentary for workplace racism, drop an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. With that, I will state again, I know summertime, folks enjoying the last few weeks before autumn sets in. Grand, I would still encourage sobriety. Race soldiers do a lot of damage. I think we even heard today about black people missing out on job opportunities because of cannabis convictions. Racists will be out, I suspect, in full force for the remainder of the summer doing sobriety checks and that sort of thing. You do not want any unnecessary problems.
because we were not sober. That, again, tobacco, alcohol, whatever it is, I've not seen that consuming any of these products has helped us replace white supremacy with justice. If anything, a lot of these poisons have made it easier for whites to keep their foot on our neck. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest forms of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.